Guys can get situated, got some great stuff. Today, as they're getting settled, love to have the big kids get our Bibles out. We're going to be in John 14 and just camping out there. We've got seven verses to look at and we're just going to kind of glance through them together. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's a pew Bible in the pew in front of you. I think we're on page 900 this morning, John 14. And this is one of those passages that you might not even know where this is, but you know what it says. And so this is like a central to the gospel, central to our understanding of God, central to what we just celebrated. This is Jesus in a nutshell. You may have used this verse to be the clincher in an argument with somebody about Jesus, or you might have used this verse to help somebody see a friend or a family member see why they really need him. And what I just want to say about John 14 is what this passage is saying is Jesus is saying, come home. Come home. That's really what he's after. The reason that we're titling our Christmas offering, Welcome Home, the reason why we're going to use that language for the upcoming year with some of our just prayer goals and people coming to the Lord, because that's what it is, isn't it? When somebody comes to Jesus, what are they but like coming home? How many stories does Jesus tell about an estranged son, actually two estranged sons in Luke 15? And what does it mean when he finally says to himself in the far-off country, you know the story of the prodigal son? He says, I think I'll go home to my father. The story of the Bible is about a people, you and I, and everybody we've ever met, who eventually becomes lost. And the Bible is about God providing a way home. I can't think of any higher compliment to the Lord's work in our midst, except when I asked Sharon Garn, and many of you remember this, Sharon Garn and Mike Finley to come up and just share their testimony, share just a little bit of their story, and have them talk about the Lord's work in their life. And the line that sticks in my mind, at least as Mike was sharing what he was going to say, was when he walked through our doors, he said he finally found home. These are my people. This is my home. And it's not like we're so great, guys, right? We're just people. We're just the church. Certainly not perfect. We're far from it. But isn't that what God wants for his people all over the world? When anybody walks into a place of worship, wherever they're at, however they're feeling, you and I know, how many times have we come through that door with a limp, maybe a real limp, and maybe a figurative one, and we came in limping, and we just needed somebody to just look us in the eye and give us a hug. Maybe we came through those doors and we had a question that needed answered. We needed somebody to help us understand something about God, and we just never really felt like we could come home until that one question was maybe answered so that we go, oh, now I might understand why this is a believable thing that you guys believe in, a believable person. We needed somebody to help us come home. That's what this passage is about. Notice what it says. He says, don't worry. Let your hearts not be troubled. Stop worrying. Don't worry. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I'll take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way that I'm going, the way to where I'm going. Thomas, exasperated, says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you'd known me, you'd have known my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and you've seen him. There really is a sense in which Jesus is the ultimate answer to every Sunday school question. Where is Jesus going? He's heaven. How do we get to be with Jesus? Jesus says, you need Jesus to be with Jesus. Right? Where we're going is to be with Jesus. And how we get there is Jesus. And Jesus just tries to make it real simple for the disciples then and for us now. Where's home for us? Where's home for everybody that's ever walked the earth? Home is with Jesus. Everybody you've ever met was designed to be at home with God. What it means to be lost is not just to be lost in terms of where you're trying to get to. Jesus is actually trying to get under that a little bit. And he's saying, this isn't a matter of you just being lost and not knowing where to go. He's actually saying, you're lost in the sense in which you don't even know possibly where you're from. And John 14 exists in some way to say, everyone's home ultimately exists in God. When was the last time you were driving down the road and you were lost, guys, maybe gals, guys, you're lost and you need directions. You don't know where to go. And there's that awkward tension in the car and you need directions. You don't know where, or you see somebody. I've seen a few guys driving down over the road. I'm going, man, they're not from around here. I've seen them do it. I'm going, it's just one S curve, right? But really, and they're lost. They don't know how to get to wherever. I said, you need some help? Yeah, I need help getting to wherever. They're trying to get to somewhere. And they need help. They need direction. Could you imagine not only thinking about the idea of being lost in terms of not knowing where to go, but can you imagine the profound idea of being lost in the sense of you don't even know where you're from? It's like the if you've seen the Disney movie Dory, where she doesn't even know how to get home. She doesn't even know. She knows she has a home, but she doesn't even know how to get there. Jesus in some way is saying, I'm the way home for you. And where I'm going, because Jesus is going home. John 13, 1, the previous chapter, he says, he loved his who he had to the end. He knew his hour had come to depart, and he was going home with his Father. He was leaving the world to go to, he's going home to be with his dad, his Father. And Jesus says, where I'm from, where I receive my ultimate identity, that's where you belong to. This isn't a matter of us just getting to some arbitrary place. Jesus is actually saying, your home is with me. Your ultimate identity, where you're ultimately from, is with me. Notice he says, if I wouldn't have told you this, if I would have said to you that I go to prepare a place for you, would I have said that if that weren't true? Jesus is using rich Middle Eastern, then and now language for a marriage. In the Middle Eastern, Near Eastern culture, when somebody gets married, it's not like in our culture where we have our family unit and then we marry off our children and they go off to kind of pave their own way and blaze their own trail as their own individual family unit. In the Middle East, when somebody gets married, when a husband goes and gets married, they don't just go off and blaze a trail. They add an extra room to the family house. And the husband goes out and they get married and they come back as their own family unit, but they're an addition now to the family home. Jesus is saying, I am the husband and you are the bride and I am making a new home for you. There's a very rich sense in which all of us, before we come to the Lord, we don't know where home is. We need to be told where home is. We need somebody to say, your ultimate home is with the Lord. And we need to be told that new home that's possible, it's only possible because of Jesus. Jesus makes a new home for us, a home that wasn't possible before. It wasn't that we just kind of wiggling around trying to find it. There's a sense in which we didn't have a home. We didn't know where we were from. We didn't know how to get back there. We didn't even know what was going on. And Jesus both says, I am ultimately where I'm from is ultimately where you're from. And I'm really your only ticket back there. I'm creating a new possibility, a new family, a new home for you to come back to. And if that wasn't true, I would have said that, but it is true. I'm creating a new home. I am the great husband and I am making you my bride and I'm going to bring you home to me so that we can be together. I love the way that the Message translates it. It says, I'm making you a new home so that where I live, you can live also. We can be together. That's what's underneath this language. Thomas is obviously confused. He's scared. He doesn't know. How can we know the way if we don't know where you're going? He's honest. I mean, if you're lost, you don't know where you're going. You don't know how to get to where you're going. You don't even know where you're at. And Jesus just very simply says, look, I just want to make this as simple as possible. I am the destination and I am the road. I am where you're ultimately supposed to go, and I am the way to get there. He simplifies it for him and he simplifies it for us. Ultimately, he says this. Not only does Jesus make a way home where there previously wasn't a way. Notice what it says. He says, I wouldn't have told you. I would go prepare a place for you if that wasn't the case, and then I'll come and bring you to myself. Jesus, that doesn't mean Jesus just goes up in heaven and creates a place and he's twiddling his thumbs waiting. No, that's language for Jesus. Jesus has to make a road where there's no road. Jesus has to make a home where there's no home. Jesus has to go through sin and death, as we just remembered it at communion. Jesus has to make a way for us to come home. There isn't a way home until he paves that way and prepares the place so that he can receive us to himself. So he's saying, look, I'm the way home. And then he says at the end, in verses 6 and 7, he says, not only am I the way home, I'm the only way home. There is no other way home. This isn't a matter of you and I being able to put into our GPS and our phone, here's where I am, here's where I'd like to go, and it gives you three routes. You know, it gives you the easy route, the quick route, or it gives you the scenic route, or it gives you the, if you want to see the mountains route, or if you want to go along the river route, or if you want to cut 2 hours off the route. Like, you know, there's three ways, and you can pick the one you want. Jesus unequivocally says, there's only one way home, and I'm the one way home. Now, how can Jesus say that? Isn't that arrogant? Isn't that rude? How can he be so brash? He can say that, not only is it because it's true, but he can say that because he's the only one who can ultimately tell you and I not just how to get to where we're going, he's the only one who can tell you and I where we're from, where we belong, where home is. So he's not being rude or unkind or brash. He's just simply telling us the truth. You belong with me. You were made for me and us. You have our image, right? Read the opening pages of Genesis. You have our image stamped all over you. You weren't made for just yourself. You were made for us. You were made to be a part of our family. You were made to be a part of our home. So the reason there's only one way back to home is because this is the only home you were ultimately made for. This is your only ticket back to where you were from in the first place. And he says, and this is the only way. This is the only way back. The thing I love about Jesus, among other things, right? We love everything about Jesus, right? Well, there's some things we don't love about Jesus. He's rather mean in some spots in the Gospels, right? Read Mark. He can be a little stern. He can say things we don't particularly like at times. They're hard pills to swallow, right? But the thing that's amazing about Jesus is when he makes this incredibly radical, exclusive, I'm your only ticket out of here. I'm your only way home. He's the only one who's made that radical and exclusive of a claim and sacrificed as much as he has to validate it. He's the only one who can say, I'm the only one who can tell you the truth. I'm the only one who can really tell you how this works out. I'm the only one who can tell you this is really how it's going to go down. And I'm willing to give you everything to prove to you. I'm going to give you everything that I might gain your trust. I'm not just going to say, follow me or else. There's no reason you should trust me. He says, no, I'm going to show you that I just might be trustworthy because I will tell you the truth. There's only one way home and I'm it, says Jesus. But I'm willing to sacrifice everything to pave that way. I'm willing to sacrifice everything to put an addition on my Father's house that you couldn't put on by yourself. I'm willing to tell you the truth and sacrifice everything to validate it and to gain your trust. That's why Jesus is so powerful and so lovely and so worth your and I's trust, your and I's faith. He's done everything. There's nothing he hasn't sacrificed to say, come home. Come home to me. That's why I hesitate to use the word branding, but that's why I felt like that terminology, welcome home for a Christmas offering. Welcome home when you come to our website and you just think you're kind of looking for a church. Welcome home when you walk in and you get a hug, or welcome home when you have a question that you need an answer to, or welcome home when you come in and you're limping because you got hurt this week, maybe physically, or maybe somebody just said something that stung and you just need somebody to look at you and love on you a little bit. Welcome home when you just go to use the restroom. Welcome home when you come and you just need to hear a word from the Lord. Welcome home when you sing a song and you come to the table. Welcome home. That should be what all of our churches all around there, that's, if anything we could be a place where somebody could blend in, relax, take a deep breath, and say, this is home. And that's why we're using that language this year, because that's the language Jesus uses in John 14. I'm the only way home, he says. You gonna take it? He sacrificed everything for it. So let's pray. Lord, we love you, and where would we be without you, God? Sanctify our imagination for 2 minutes and we could probably imagine where we would be without you, how far away from home we would be. We're so thankful that because of you, we have a home, that you and you alone, God, show us the way home. And you tell us, honestly, you tell us truthfully the way things are. You don't pull any punches. And yet, in the midst of that just straightforward truth statement, you don't just say, follow me or else. You tell us the truth, that there really is only one way home, not just for us, but for anybody. We were made for you. We have your image all over us. We were designed to reflect your glory, your goodness, your character. We can't rub that off. It's just in us. It's on us. And so as we're wrestling with that truth this week, God, help us remember that there isn't anybody who's ever told us the truth like you have and do, and then sacrificed so much to validate it, sacrificed so much, made yourself so vulnerable to gain our trust. Thank you so much, God, for gathering us together as your people so we can sing, so we can go eat in a moment. I pray your blessing on our food, God, as we just eat together. I pray you'd inhabit just our conversation and our time together and the meals and the presentations and the talks and the year ahead. Where could we go without you, God? What could we accomplish without your power and without your grace? I pray that in the days, in the weeks, months, in the year ahead, God, would you help us to be your people? Would you help us to see that your mission is to bring people home to yourself? And would you find us not only willing, but wanting to be a part of that? Thank you, Lord. It's in your name. Amen. Amen.